tuned for today's episode of Breaking the Biz, an informative podcast where we dive into the world of entertainment by interviewing seasoned professionals who have made their mark in the industry. Gain invaluable insights as they share their personal journeys, offering advice on navigating the dynamic landscape of the entertainment industry. Whether you're an aspiring actor, musician, filmmaker, author, animator, or any creative soul, tune in for expert career guidance, insider tips, and firsthand accounts on breaking into the entertainment industry. Get ready to unlock the secrets behind successful careers and fuel your own passion for the limelight. Please remember to like this video and to subscribe to our channels for more great conversations.
Greetings from Breaking the Biz, brought to you by Yes I Can, Unity through Music and Education. I'm William Felber, your navigator through the intriguing universe of the entertainment industry, as revealed by the visionaries and creators who bring it to life. Stay tuned as we delve into diverse insights from the forefront of entertainment, hearing from pioneers, creators, and agents of change. Prepare for a journey filled with tales of innovation, resilience, and the undying quest for artistic brilliance.
And welcome to Breaking the Biz podcast with the Yes I Can crew. We have got an amazing guest for you tonight. We have Taylor Roberts, who is a social media expert and a CEO of Mental Health Company. Like I mentioned, she's the CEO and founder of the Mental Health Company Season. It includes clothing, merchandise, wellness, and events and media, which is up and coming. Her bachelor's degree is in business administration and a minor in psychology. She was fueled to create a business that marries the two studies and passions. I love that. She's partnered with mental health charities, hotels, companies, and non-alcoholic event spaces, artists, and other brands. She's been writing poetically under the alias Is Told by T for 8 years on her personal journey through struggles, triumphs, surrounding mental health, trauma, healing, and interpersonal relationships. Communication and hopes to give those silently struggling something to relate to. Her mission through both the season of and Told by T is to create a community where others feel safe to express and fearlessly connect with others at any point on their journey. I love it. Beautiful stuff. So I have to give you kudos right off the bat. The fact of mixing two things that you are absolutely passionate about and connecting them, I don't think there is a better way to do that. Me personally, I was going through music and I was doing music management. And then at the same time, I was doing education and I was like, what do I do? And my dad also kind of gave me that really Yoda advice. And he was like, why don't you just blend the two? And I was like, could I do that? And he's like, yeah. And 20 years later, I'm still mixing and matching and, you know, the passions and the paycheck. So I give you kudos for finding that journey very early on. So kudos to you.
Thank you. What a beautiful, warm welcome. Thank you guys for having me. I'm super happy to be here. I've been looking forward to it all month.
Awesome. I love it. So let's talk about when you were a young girl. And I'm talking about very, very young. I mean, where it's like, I want to be the president. I wanted, you know, what was that job for you when you were that young?
It's so funny. From what my mom has told me, it wasn't so much of a job. She said when I was young, well, there was two things. Early on, I was like, I want to be a doctor, like almost every kid does at some point in their journey. And then there was another point in my life where my mom told me I would walk around telling people that I'm going to be Jesus and I'm going to have children. I was going to be God. And I said that I was going to name my kids Jesus and Mary. That was early on what I envisioned for myself.
That's awesome. And if you had another one, what would it be? You'd have Jesus, Mary, and what would the other one be?
I don't know. I guess I never got that far. But
never got that far. That's fair. Okay. So talk me through schooling, high school. When you were in high school, were you passionate about then?
So I've always had this deep burning passion for helping others since a really young age. And I'll even start from middle school. There, I found this charitable way to me. There was a little girl that I actually hadn't even met in the elementary school that was a part of the middle school I went to. And she had been diagnosed with leukemia. And in sixth or seventh grade, I can't remember now, I believe it was sixth grade, I went home and I told my mom, I was like, oh my gosh, I heard this horrible news. There's a little girl at our school who just got diagnosed with cancer and I want to help. And my mom was like, well, do you know her? And I said, no, I have never met her. I know nothing about her, but I want to do something. So I had put together this fundraiser with a local teacher, I would say, that was putting on like kids fitness classes. And I combined with this teacher, and we put on this beautiful day of games and sports, and everybody came and participated and donated. And we ended up raising enough money to cover most of her cancer treatments. And she was cancer free a few years later.
That's awesome. So from very early age, you knew you had that. I want to help people. And that, obviously, there's all those little stepping stones and little lessons that we learn through life. And it kind of just shows you that social impact you can have just being a good person and reaching out. So kudos again.
Thank you.
High school, leading to high school.
So, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. In high school, what were you all about in high school?
So in high school, I found myself, I transferred to high schools in the middle of my junior year. So as you can imagine, for any high schooler, that's kind of detrimental. You go from having friends the first few years and then just smack dab in the middle, like I'm going to a new school and trying something new, a new environment. And I made a lot of great friends. It was a lot smaller of a schooling environment. And the second high school that I went to, they had an offering that they were taking a certain amount of kids during spring break every year to an impoverished part of Mexico and essentially going out there and helping with the community and working with the children, whether it be in the church or helping build houses. You got to choose what team you wanted to be a part of, whether that was in like a local food kitchen there. And the remaining 2 years I had of high school, I spent my spring break in Mexico doing missionary work and just really learning the language and being able to connect with the community there. I got so close with one of the girls there. She was kind of an outcast, and you could tell a lot of the kids thought she was, you know, different and would stay away from her. And I, for some reason, we gravitated towards each other. And the pastor in the church was blown away because he would tell me, you know, I've never seen this girl speak to anybody, let alone a stranger, or just connect. And I somehow was able to get her to open up and feel comfortable enough. And she shared with me that, you know, her mom and her three older brothers all live in, well, she described it as a house, but when she showed me, they were living basically in a four by four pieces of wood and a tarp on top with a bungee cord keeping the tarp down as a roof. And they had never had plumbing before. And her mom was a little bit older. And one thing that when I met her mom, she said, all I can ever pray for and hope for is that, you know, one day I'll be able to give my kids a proper home, because even our way of using the bathroom and showering is from a hose and a bucket and a hole in the ground. And it really broke my heart and opened my eyes up to, you know, how truly blessed we are in so many ways to know things like running water and light switches, something that they had never experienced. Their mom, you know, was washing their clothes in, you know, with a hose every day and hand washing everything. And they were all living on one mattress that had a giant hole in the middle on the ground with no flooring. So after that first year, I went on the trip after we debriefed as a giant group. There's about like 100 to 110 of us that go and hit different parts of this area. And I had, you know, I had brought up to the organizer that I wanted to do something for this family, and I wanted to bring whatever resources we could together to build them a proper home, that one that could, you know, bring this family, you know, bring this mother's dream come true and give these kids an opportunity that they didn't even know existed. So that was the project that I led the following year, which was my senior year of high school. And they didn't even know, we surprised them and built this home for this family, and I still get tears in my eyes to this day thinking about it. And the mom, she was in such disbelief and just was sobbing when on the last day, and when we presented everything to her, because we were able to get donations for basic furniture and whatnot. And she said, you know, she never thought she would live to see all of her prayers being answered. And that, and when the organizer had told her that I was the one that organized this project, she's like, anything I could do to, and I just told her, I was like, no, this is something that, you know, really touched my heart. And it was so inhumane the way that you guys were living. And I wanted to be able to bring anything that I could to you guys, any resources that we could accomplish.
What a beautiful story. I got the goosebumps, you know, like that's, you know, we think about the important things in high school and, you know, you got to know geometry and algebra and, you know, this and that. And it's like that experience is one of those experiences that change you forever. And that impact where you can see how your work can actually affect somebody's life. Beautiful story. I love it. So that's got to be like the catalyst for, okay, I really can help people through their problems, mental health, and just kind of putting resources together and being that person. So after high school, what's your move?
Yeah. So after high school, I played softball competitively my whole life, and I had the opportunity to go to college by way of a softball scholarship. And I have to say, I grew up in LA, and I wanted, you know, a change and to be able to experience a different part of the country. And I had the opportunity to go completely an opposite direction of LA. I went to Great Falls, Montana, where I spent almost 5 years there. And I attribute a lot of my growth and a lot of my mental health journey and learning a lot about myself to moving across the country. And I guess not completely across the country, but you know what I mean? And
Montana is definitely different than LA.
Exactly. Before going to Montana, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I really thought it was like a game of Oregon Trail and horse and buggy type situation, which wasn't too far off, but definitely allowed me to learn so much about a different part of the country and the way that people live and hunting and gathering and Native American culture. But, you know, I went through my own struggles and triumphs with my mental health and, you know, being away from my family, but also really at 17, 18 years old, living on your own for the first time and, you know, figuring out, like, not knowing anybody, just doing it. And I actually went into college undecided. I was a business major, but I thought that I was going to go into broadcast journalism, and I saw myself going to impoverished countries and speaking on, you know, societal differences and whatnot that were going on in different countries. But when I started college and, you know, made my way into like a journalism sector, I realized that at the time I was terrified of public speaking. I felt like I could have one-on-one conversations, no problem, but the idea of speaking on camera or speaking in front of crowds absolutely terrified me. And I was like, you know, maybe this is not the direction that I thought I was going. And a year into college, when I was experiencing some lows in my mental health, I went and saw a few doctors just to get a second opinion and trying to understand better of, you know, what I was feeling and what I was going through at the time. And both doctors diagnosed me with clinical depression as well as anxiety and PTSD. And as an 18, 19 year old girl, not really understanding exactly what the depths of those diagnoses mean. You hear the words all the time, I'm depressed, I have depression, but you don't really truly know what it means. So I've then found myself wanting to learn more, not only about my own diagnosis, but a way to better communicate with others. So I picked up a minor in psychology and just went full force into, you know, the communication aspect and finding a way to navigate these feelings and diagnosis for myself and better my relationship with others and overall better myself in a world that, you know, now understanding, you know, where a lot of my feelings were coming from at the time.
I want to point out a few things. A, sometimes we go and we have this mindset of this is exactly what I'm going to do. Maybe not necessarily the Jesus and the Mary, but like, you know, I'm going to go and do broadcast journalism. And you learn as you kind of grow and you're like, maybe that's not where my skill set is, or like mentioning, maybe not skill set's not the right word, but the uncomfortableness of speaking in front of people, and you shift. And there's certain things in our lives that kind of make us go in certain directions. And obviously dealing with mental health and learning about, you know, depression, what's great is that you have that self-awareness. And trust me, like being at a new place, going to college, already having those stressors and not having your family by your side, there's many people who never take that leap of faith to even go somewhere else away from their family. So again, kudos to you. But, you know, I love the fact that you're like, these are the things that I'm dealing with. Other people have to be dealing with it. And I want to learn a little bit more and dig into that psychology minor and learn. So you do the minor, you know, talk me through what comes next for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I pick up this minor and I'm really just, I fell in love with psychology and learning about myself and learning more about others. And as I went on and was learning more in the psychology field, I realized, oh, wow, it's like a inner child moment where everything from my past is kind of coming together and feeling like, okay, wow, like I could really use this knowledge to help people. And then at the time of near graduation, I'm like, okay, I think I want to go into drug and alcohol counseling, or I want to go into criminal psychology. And of course, there's more schooling and whatnot that goes into that. But I had gotten some good advice from people in the field, and they had told me, if you want to get into, you know, a criminal psychology at a high level, instead of going back to school, because I financially didn't have the means, they said you could start with drug and alcohol counseling and kind of work your way up and grandfather your way in. And at the time I was not sober, and now I am, I'm going on 3 years of sobriety, but at the time I wasn't. And I had gotten another piece of advice from some professionals in the drug and alcohol space that had mentioned, they said, you know, one thing about drug and alcohol counseling is that a lot of the people in the program are not going to really take kindly to your advice if you're not also in the program or have experienced what they have. And so again, I took a little detour and was like, okay, I kind of got to figure it out. What am I doing? What direction do I want to go? And then again, my life took me a completely opposite direction. And out of college, I got a job working in law. I was working in legal marketing. So I was basically the middleman for attorneys and clients all over the country. I did that for about 5 years. And through working a 9-to-5 type job, I at a certain point, I knew throughout that this was not my forever. And I knew that I didn't have a burning passion for law. But I knew that there was something like missing, and I couldn't quite pinpoint it for a few years. And I went through my struggles and triumphs with my mental health journey at the time. And I had a very dear friend of mine who from college that I would kind of talk to, and I'm like, you know, I can't put my finger on it and what direction and where to go. And she's like, you used to tell me that as a kid, whenever you were, struggling articulating anything, that you would write, and you had a passion for creative writing. And I said, yeah, I haven't written probably, you know, creatively since middle school. And it was usually, you know, while I was grieving a death or something like that and trying to navigate those feelings. She's like, well, why, like, you know, why not? Why don't you just go buy a journal and just start journaling or write it out. And I did. And then I would start to share some of my, what I was writing with her, because I trusted her at the time. And she says, have you ever thought of, she's like, this is really poetic. Have you ever thought about putting your writing out there? And I looked at her and I said, absolutely not. There is no way that I am sharing this, the, you know, deep, intimate part of myself with the world. That sounds terrifying. And she goes, social media is such a great tool. And I feel like you would really create a community around what you're writing, and people would gravitate. So her and I came to a happy medium on this idea. And I created a half anonymous Instagram page. Told by T was my alias, and I didn't have my face or anything in there. It was mostly just my writing. I had images that I felt reflected best with what I was writing, and I just started posting and then reposting on my personal page, and not saying like, hey, this is my page or anything, just kind of like, you know, letting whoever found their way to what I was writing about make their way. And I didn't have like a huge following, but in a short amount of time, I, you know, gained a few thousand followers, and it was people all over the world. I had a woman in India that reached out to me about my writing. I had a guy in New York who actually was a painter, wasn't even a writer, and then a fellow writers. We all just kind of found our way to each other. They found my page, and it was cool to be able to connect with other people and hear from people that I know in my life that didn't even know it was me writing, and reaching out to the page like, hey, like, you know, I really connect with what you're writing, and this helped me, and people just reposting and really, you know, sharing intimate parts of themselves. And I knew that I wanted to reach more people with my writing and what I was doing as I went along, carrying out this page. And I had a very vivid dream one night, and woke up the next morning. It's so funny. I had a boyfriend at the time, and I had woken up in the morning, and the way that he describes is that I had woken straight up out of a dream with my finger in the air, and I said yes. And he looked at me confused, like, who wakes up with their finger in the air and says yes? And I was just laughing, and I said, no, I had this really vivid dream, and I know what I want to do. And I see myself leaving this job in law eventually and going full force with this. And he's like, okay, well, what's going on? So I said, I am going to create a clothing and merchandise brand surrounding mental health. I am going to put my writing on each piece of clothing and surround each aspect or each collection with a different aspect of mental health. And I said, eventually I wanted to start as a brand, and then I want to grow it into more. And he was like, okay, well, so what are you going to do about it? And I was like, I guess I'm going to file my LLC today. And that's what I did. I filed my LLC that day and have been going ever since. End of January was our 3-year anniversary of Season Of. And I have since expanded from being a clothing and merchandise brand to hosting wellness events. And I'm hoping within the next year that I will launch the media side, where overall Season Of is going to be a one-stop mental health platform. So whether you best express yourself through clothing and merchandise, whether you find community through mental health and wellness events, or you feel most connective or want to be inspired or gain more knowledge through a media platform, we're going to hit all points and be able to offer that to our community and then some.
Super cool story. Never have woken up and said, aha, yes. But, you know, that has to happen for everyone. It you know, you get that message one way or another. I imagine working in law and dealing with people's problems, not so much a rosy job, not always fun. When lawyers get involved, it's always an ugly thing. But knowing that is not what you wanted to do. It's interesting though how you kind of navigated though in career, you know, criminal stuff and then the drugs and the alcohol and the mental health. I mean, is such a they always say, like, find that niche. Mental health is something that's not going away. Mental health is something that everyone deals with. Everyone deals with it in a different way. Some do it healthy and work out. Some eat right. You know, some tend to go to alcohol or drugs. And some can go down the rabbit hole, even like really, really bad. So, yeah. Mental health is something that, you know, is if people are going to connect. And I love with the writing part, you know, someone in New York, in India, writing is powerful. People connect with words. And organically, just, you know, I think 1,000, you know, plus 1,000 people who are getting what you're talking about from your writing obviously means that people can relate to it and can connect. I think that's the best part with music. You know, obviously everyone hears music. Some people gravitate to the words and the lyrics. Some people gravitate to the music element. Some people feel the, you know, the different moods and emotions that come with music. So that's awesome. Have you ever thought of taking your writing and adding it to music?
You know, I have a lot of my writing, I feel like, is inspired by different music and lyrics that I hear. I'm very heavy on lyrical type music. So I've always gravitated to hip hop and R&B. Just, I'm fascinated by the way that songwriters and artists are able to put their words into a form that other people can sing along to. And I've thought about songwriting and such, but I have my toxic trait is taking on more, biting off more than I could swallow sometimes. And so it's a day by day thing and could be something in the future that I dive into. I am in the process of writing my first published book. So there will be more of my writing, out there, outside of social media, and I'm really excited to share that with the world as well.
Awesome. With merchandise, how are your sales going? How is that going?
It's good. Honestly, I've been very blessed with such growing support, and it's been awesome the way that people have gravitated to what I'm doing, and, you know, bought merch and gifted it to others. And it's just so special because I mental health is something that I value very, very strongly. I like I've mentioned, I've gone through my struggles definitely, and I've come a really long way with my mental health. And all I can ask for is even one person to be inspired. And it's truly a blessing to continue to get messages and emails and texts from people and strangers alike that have come together, no longer are strangers, and some people I've never met before that, you know, say that this hoodie or this article of clothing or this collection that you put together has really, you know, impacted me in a certain way, or it's pushed me to be better, do better, or connect with somebody that I've, you know, been closed off from in the past. And I'm so blessed. I couldn't be more grateful for the community that's been growing.
Okay. With social media, did you learn like algorithms? Have you tapped into figuring out that world? I'm always fascinated how we had a guest speaker a month ago who similar, she didn't wake up and go yes, but she moved away and she just was like, oh, I'm going to try TikTok tonight. Mm-hmm. And she posted a funny video of her kids and she went to bed and she woke up in the morning and there were like 22 million views or something crazy like that.
Wow.
And so wasn't like, she's like, I didn't know anything about algorithms. I didn't know, you know, like she posted it, went to bed, got those views. And then the next day, Kelly Clarkson's people called and were like, yeah, we saw your video. We want to have you on. And it went obviously mega viral.
Yeah.
But similar, she was just like, someone told, I had that moment where someone was like, try TikTok right now and post something. And she did. So I'm always curious, like, if it's an algorithm thing, if it's, you know, she believes it was a higher power and was very religious and found that connection. So, you know, to each their own, but like, that's some crazy stuff. I was like, wow, you know,
yeah.
Maybe she should have named her kids Mary and Jesus. I don't know.
I know. I'll have to have a chat with her. Maybe an added middle name or something.
Yes, absolutely. So are you working on an app or is it just a website? You have your LLC. you know, you're doing the merchandise, you're doing a book. Is there anything else that you want to plug or that you're thinking about coming up next that you're going to work on?
Yeah. So, as of right now, it's just my website. I am actually in the process of going to start to revamp part of my website and add on to it. So just to make it more user-friendly where people can see a calendar of events. Since I throw so many wellness events, I want it to be a place that people can gravitate to and just find what we're doing easier and not just the merch, because the merch now is just a sector of it. It's no longer the whole encompassing. So I'm excited for that. And I'm looking forward to hopefully in the next 6 months or so, being able to get the media side up and running and talk to amazing people like you guys do and just to help the community in any way that I can. As far as your question earlier about algorithm, so TikTok is a whole different breed from, I feel like, any other social media platform, and it's super interesting and a little bit more organic, I would say, than Instagram or even Facebook for that matter. With TikTok, I feel like sometimes there is a method to the madness, and a lot of times it's really just a luck of the draw type thing. I've had friends who are very knowledgeable on the TikTok side of things that tell me, yeah, I've posted the same exact video with the same exact sound over and over again, different days and times, and I could post it 20 times and one of them took off and did 100,000 views and another one did like 36 views. So it just really depends on the TikTok side. I know that during the pandemic, a lot of people saw really awesome success because there were so many more users on their phone and paying attention on TikTok. But from the Instagram side, it is a little tricky as well. Instagram constantly changes the algorithm. They don't really want anyone to completely figure it out. So it just really depends what you're trying to do and the best way that you're comfortable with articulating what, for example, with Yes I Can, like what is your messaging behind it? And if I was to take over Yes I Can's Instagram or anything like that, the first thing that I would do is be heavy on videos and reels and real accounts from some of your members and success stories, things that are shareable and that other people will engage with and connect to and want to stay on and listen to what's being said.
Okay. I love it. One of the things you mentioned in your wellness, and I think that's great to have wellness meetups and obviously yoga and, you know, eating right. And there's lots of stuff that goes into wellness. One of the things that caught my eye in your intro was events, non-alcoholic events. And, you know, I was just at an event at the Palladium, and obviously the Palladium normally makes so much money off of alcohol. That's how they stay in business with concerts. Tickets pay the artist to get there, then the alcohol. And yesterday it was an all-access fest put together by Live Nation Music Forward, their nonprofit, and everything was water. And it was like so nice to not be in that element of everyone being drunk and everyone just kind of being very level headed. Do you feel there's a market towards having events that are not serving alcohol and are more dry events?
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely seen a huge spike in the non-alc community and more people, whether they're sober curious or just taking a lighter approach to alcohol. And being that I'm going into my third year of sobriety, when I started the event segment of Season Of, I wanted to really be intentional and, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk. So I wanted to create an environment that is something that I would want to walk into and really just bring a community together and show whether people are fully sober or not, or sober curious, just showing them that there are options for ways to meet people in a healthy environment and ways that you can still enjoy yourself and also allowing others the opportunity for self-growth without even, you know, knowing really, and just being willing to participate and enter an environment, whether by themselves or with a friend, that they don't have to be pressured to be anything but themselves and can feel comfortable amongst everybody in this community, because we're all here for the same purpose. We're all here to have a good time and socialize or engage in yoga events or music and just have the opportunity to not even have to think. And I know that when I first stopped drinking, the social aspect of it was a huge, huge, like it was a huge difference to what I was used to. And I'm comfortable socializing, but I realized how much of a crutch that alcohol was, just because it was there and just because it was a habitual thing for so many years. And I really had to get comfortable in my own skin going into a social setting where, you know, someone, many people may offer me a drink, and I have to be comfortable and okay with the only person being the only person who's not drinking in a setting like that. So I have partnered with a few non-alcoholic event companies in the process, and they usually take over the bar. And then there's other non-alc brands that I've partnered with that they're sponsors for the non-alc bar. And it's really fun, too. I've gotten into this whole my mocktail era, I tell everyone, and I've had the opportunity to, you know, try alternatives that, you know, are still fun and tasty, and you have something in your hand and you don't feel like, okay, I'm the sober girl walking around with water. Like, I have the opportunity to sip on something that I like and something that's good for you, and maybe sometimes things that have like health components to it. An event that I went to in the last few months with one of the non-alc partners that I work with from time to time on events, they threw an event and they had a sponsor. I'm trying to remember the name of their sponsor, but they were like magnesium powders and capsules and stuff. And the rep from the company was telling me, he's like, yeah, a lot of people think magnesium is only taken before bed, but there's so many different types of magnesium that you can take. Some are for calmness, some are for energy. And they were putting them into these mocktails, and it was just so, it was so awesome. I felt right at ease, and I'm just grateful that through Season Of and by way of working with different partnerships and sponsors, that I myself am allowing myself to really immerse myself into the non-alc space and connect with other people who are on the same wave as me. So it's fun.
That's great. That's fantastic. Talk me through mentors in your life. When I bring up the word mentor, who comes to mind for a mentor for you?
Honestly, I have had a lot of people in my life that have really influenced my journey. And I would say most recently, I have a friend recently that he's a close friend of mine, but I look at him as like a mentor as well. He is an incredible artist and painter, and he also is very, very huge in the humanitarian space. He opened not only a factory and warehouse and school in Kenya, but he's created so many jobs and opportunities for you know, for an area that so badly needed it as well. And him and I are actually working on a project together right now. We are creating a world music wellness venue in Chinatown in downtown LA. So again, marrying more passion. So it's going to be bringing culture and world music to an art to a nightlife and hospitality industry that does not have a market for culture and world music. So we're really excited about that. It's all going to be non-alc too.
Very cool. Talk me through how important networking has been for your success.
Networking has helped a lot, especially in the beginning, because I knew little to nothing about clothing and merchandise and what things cost and what materials felt like what. And just truly utilizing a lot of great knowledgeable people in my life who were so willing to share information with me and share other business connections and friendships that have brought my business to where it is now and where it can get to. So I'm really grateful for that as well.
Okay. How important is it to keep learning?
Oh,
being a student of life.
Number one thing I tell pretty much anyone that asks me in my life, you never stop learning about yourself. You never stop healing. You never fully, you never wake up one day and you're like, wow, I'm healed. I'm just the most perfect version of myself. There's always going to be different things that happen, different wrenches and detours that life throws at you. And you're going to have to rise to the occasion and really take a look at yourself and say, okay, like, what is in my control? What are the controllables and what is out of my control? And do your best to truly lead, like, to not try to force a path, but to see where the path leads you. And again, control what's within your control.
It's very interesting that you mentioned what's in your control. Sometimes people try to control every little aspect of their life, and there's just certain things that you can't. So controlling, you know, how you treat others, you can't necessarily control how they treat you. You know, and these are things that you learn as you just go through life. You know, your self-awareness is so on point, and I think that's one of the key aspects to success is knowing how you learn, how you feel, what's right for you, what's not good for you. You know, even your path of careers going, you know, and experiencing it and bouncing off until you find exactly where it is that you belong, I think is a great example and important for people to see. What's a mantra that you live by?
There's a few. Happiness depends upon ourselves. That's something that my grandma instilled in me very young. Another one would be, you're putting me on the spot. It's quite a few, but, overall, just really. Okay. My other favorite one that I tell a lot of people as well is, healing is ongoing, but it's important not to make healing your whole identity.
I like that. I like the grandma one with the most definitely with, you know, we determine our own happiness, especially when we're talking about mental health, right? Like, there's lots of beauty in there, but I know how hard it is when you just can't see the beauty and, you know, certain medications block off certain things and certain aspects. And I'm sure that's things that you've explored and gone down and figured out. I love it. My last question, and then I'm going to open it up for some questions out of the group. What is the biggest piece of advice you would give to your younger self with all that you've learned in your journey?
I would definitely tell my younger self to be patient and to not worry so much about you know, what's to come. Just kind of like one foot in front of the other. And I would definitely tell her to not hold so much in and really open herself up and be more, a little bit more expressive of what she is struggling with, and that there are people that care and are willing to help.
Perfect. I love it. Let's open it up to questions. It can be on wellness. It can be on, you know, self-awareness. It can be on digital marketing. You know, you got a lot here to bite off of. I'm going to go to Presley, Matthew, and then Clemente.
Hi, Taylor. I just have one question for you. When you said that you've done creative writing, like, what type of writing? Like, is it like storytelling?
Yeah. So a lot of the writing that I like to do is I categorize it as short story poetry. So I've written everything from short story poetry. I've done copywriting in the past. I've done freelance work, website writing, but my creative writing is mostly poetry.
Excellent.
Perfect. Matthew Paul, you're up.
I have a question and a comment. Okay. How would you what advice would you give to someone who's dealing with loving themselves or trying to get to that point?
Huh. I mean, that's a tough one. Someone that is struggling to love themselves, I guess it would be more questions that I would ask. And typically, from my own personal standpoint, when I found my self-love to be really low, it typically came from there's always a source. So I would say focus on getting to the source. And as I mentioned earlier, controlling the controllables and just getting to the root of what, because, okay, for example, like if someone is having trouble loving themselves, typically it comes from a place of like negative self-talk, or there's things that maybe you don't like about yourself, or maybe you overthink. And journaling has helped me tremendously. There's been times where I couldn't even pinpoint why I was feeling as bad as I was. And I just, without even thinking, it was just like a free-flowing thing, just writing it out and reflecting on, okay, wow, I didn't realize I had so much of this trapped inside. And sometimes I don't feel comfortable talking to people, or maybe I at the time didn't have a therapist, or maybe at the time I didn't feel like I trusted anyone enough with this deep intimate side of me, that I just took pen to paper and let out unapologetically whatever I was feeling. And that helped a lot.
I like all of that. And one more thing, just very quick. The stories about you helping the girl with leukemia in your elementary school and helping that family get a real home is just, that was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, 100%. It definitely speaks on your character for sure, Taylor. Clemente, go for it.
Hi, Taylor. So hi. I love how you mentioned yoga. It's now my new favorite hobby. I do yoga almost every week. And it also has helped me tremendously with my mental health, as balancing work, school, and personal life. I want to know, like, do you have any, like, what is your favorite yoga exercises to practice?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I actually love hot yoga. I know it's kind of intense, but it's so, there's something about hot yoga and just, like, and I've also grown to really love the sauna too. So just being able to like flow and let everything out and sweat it all out. It's just like, it's a real like connective and an emotional thing for me, but also a way to do something for yourself. And it's like your me time.
Well, I always heard of your hot yoga. Like, that was so interesting. Like, when have you like started? When did you first start it?
I first started going to hot yoga classes, and keep in mind, I'm not as consistent as I should be, but I started going to hot yoga, I would say 2018 or 19, and 2019, and I went up until the pandemic, and everything was closed, and now I find myself just kind of practicing on my own and dropping into classes when I can.
Oh, nice. Thank
Good
you.
For you, Clemente. I love it that you're getting your yoga on. Well done. It can happen for anyone and everyone. I want to say, Taylor, I want to thank you for spending time with us tonight, sharing your story, being oh so honest with the addictions and the ups and downs. You know, whenever anyone comes and they're like, everything is just rosy and things are just wonderful. You know, social media has that aspect where people only post their victories and they never post their battles or their failures. Or if they do, it's like, that's all they do. Right. And I think that was kind of like one of the advice that you said, like, don't put that all out there. Do it in a healthy way. So yeah. I want to thank you for honestly being honest with us tonight. Sharing, you know, where you started and where you are now. You're in a great place. I just want to wish you continued success, good health, good hot yoga. Keep grinding and doing what you want to do. Keep writing. And as long as people are resonating with what you're doing, you're on the right road. So continued success. And I want to, again, just thank you for your time.
Thank you guys so much. This was really awesome. And thank you for listening to me yap for an hour or so. There's one thing that I would like to do before I go. Can I get everyone on camera and I can take a quick picture of all of us?
So yeah, let's do it. Let's see if I can.
All the questions too. You guys were
awesome. There we go. Let's get those cameras on. There yes. It is. I love it. There we go. Everyone's being brave. See, Taylor, you got everyone being brave right now. I love it. Look at that.
Thank you, guys.
Love it. Perfect. on that note, everyone, quite proud of you. You all have a wonderful weekend. It's Friday is tomorrow, right? And proud of you all. What great growth. I haven't seen all your faces in so long. I normally stare at these little black boxes with names. So, Taylor, I give you kudos for getting everyone out of their the comfort zone. On that note, everyone, go have a wonderful evening and pleasure seeing you all. Thank you again, Taylor.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
As we conclude another enriching episode, we hope you found inspiration in the stories shared today. Let's take a moment to honor Yes I Can's role in bringing Breaking the Biz to life. Yes I Can's commitment to empowering young people with disabilities through education, advocacy, and mentorship shines brightly, paving paths of opportunity and dialogue. This podcast celebrates the organization's dedication to nurturing talent and facilitating impactful discussions. Breaking the Biz is more than a podcast. It's a part of Yes I Can's broader mission to amplify voices, dismantle barriers, and craft a world that's more inclusive and accessible for everyone. Each episode is a chapter in our shared narrative of progress, education, and empowerment, driven by the spirit of Yes I Can. Thank you for spending your time with us on Breaking the Biz. Continue to challenge the status quo and share stories that resonate. Until our paths cross again, let's keep transforming aspirations into achievements and infuse every endeavor with optimism. Here's to advancing the landscape of the entertainment industry, one episode at a time. I'm your host, William Felber. See you next time.